previously on 2 Past Midnight.
Yeah, I was thinking about it while you guys were doing all that stuff. I'm like, you're like 400 meters from there. You can hear gunshots at 400 meters away.
Oh, yeah.
Valentin, I really don't like operating in cities.
The world does not care what you like. You have to take it.
Emmett and Lieutenant Bruce are going along, and you actually, up ahead, you see 4 people. This is their territory, and to pass through, you would need to pay them.
Hey, you, come here.
Emmett's going to try and keep kind of gesturing like, I don't understand what he's saying as we continue to try and move away from them.
All right, they start running towards you.
Are we bolting home, or do we want to try to get these guys?
Let's get the heck out of here.
Bolt home.
Okay, recon roll.
Derp.
It's pushable.
Do I get a plus?
You get a +1 from the city, yes.
No, I'm not going to push.
Are you sure?
I mean, I rolled a 1 for the second one, so I...
That would just be a point of stress. The other way, that means we're still in the middle of it.
It's not like rolled an ankle or anything.
No, it would just be stress.
Okay, so then I will roll the D10 again. 1 success.
Okay. So describe to me what this looks like. What you guys are trying to do is you're trying to run and hide from them.
We're jogging down the alley and we're like sticking to the walls and try to, if there's like a dumpster or something, we're trying to run passively and use things as cover as much as possible. We've already made 2 lefts and another right trying to go. You know, we obviously don't know the area super well, but we're just trying to take different methods to get away while still booking it and using as much cover as possible to put behind us to at least obfuscate their view.
All right. So as you're doing all this, one of you guys roll me a survival roll at a -1.
Ooh, I'm CNC. What do you got?
Being nothing.
It could be the highest one.
That would be C and D for me. That's 2 dice. We'll go with that.
And it's pushable.
1 success.
All right.
Push it.
And you're able to circumvent this little problem. And not get lost. So that's another thing.
Yeah, boy!
Everything was going through my head, and I was like, all right, I have a little bit of persuasion. I'm like, crap, they outnumber us. I was like, this isn't going to work. We got to book it. We got to
That seemed like a fun way to do a chase, right?
No. 100%.
I peed a little, so I don't know about
There aren't specifically rules for it in the system, and I was like, well, fuck it. This seems reasonable.
I think we lost him. Let's get back to the hideout. Every single twist and turn we've made, we've got somebody get on our butts.
I know. This whole city seems to be just one big melting pot of bad to worse. Let's just try and get back to there.
Jeremy, it seemed like you had something you were going to chime in on.
I was going to say that there's no chase mechanics in Twilight 2000, but in the Free League SRD,
mm-hmm.
there are chase mechanics in there, and there's like random tables that you roll, and sometimes there'll be an obstacle, mm-hmm. or you'll run into a gang or some other fucking crazy ass thing.
Yeah. No, I thought about pulling that up because I thought I remembered seeing it, but I was like, I don't feel like stopping the whole fucking show.
Yeah.
All right. So we cut back over to Valentin and Murph just because they both fucking up and walked away, and I wasn't going to.
I just bent over. All I did was bend down.
I know, but I think Brian got away too.
Brian did get up and walk. He said he peed a little bit.
Yeah,
so I think he's changed his pants.
I think he actually did have to go pee. So we cut back over to Valentin and Murph, and as you guys are sitting there and watching, you see you see people come into the club. You see people, and it's decent amount of people just showing up, going to the front door, checking in. Checking weapons as they go in. You can hear the music get louder as the door opens. People go in. You can see people leaving, a little bit more inebriated than when they showed up. But yeah, you don't really see any trucks through the course of this afternoon at any point. It just seems like people coming and going, shit like that.
Did there seem to be any, like, again, air quotes, VIPs or anything like that that come in?
From what you guys could see, no. I mean, it just seems like people coming and going. I mean, everyone's going through the same door, too. Like, everybody you see showing up goes through the same door.
And nobody just, like, strolls right in like they're king shit.
Nope. Nope. It's just people coming in, people leaving.
It's another one of those things you look for, right? Like, important people.
The entourage. Yeah. But here is what I think. This is what I want to do. I want to take away his distribution. I want to make the club make as little money as possible. I want to take away his drugs. I want to take away his drink. I want to take away his music. I want to take away his food. I want to take away his women. I want to take away everything. And then, once we have taken everything from him, and the club begins to fail and he feels pressure from the world around him, then he dies. But not before.
Kind of seems like you're altering our deal a little bit.
No, I'm just elaborating. I'm not changing deal. We are going to kill him. But it is the process through which we will kill him. You cannot go to the bull directly, even if you are a lion. You have to cut him a little bit. Here, there. Stab him. Weaken him. Then you take him.
See, I've never played the game by Death of a Thousand Cuts. I play the game of I reach out and touch you, and your head explodes.
We may get there. But there are too many strings attached to this one. We have to take him down piece by piece.
We cut back over to Lieutenant and Emmett. The captain. I'm sorry, we cut back over to the captain and the lieutenant.
That's right, you put some respect on that name.
We cut back over to the captain and Tennille. And,
Muskrat love.
Who is equally a fucking captain. And,
hey, he's never killed a captain. So it's not equally a captain.
You don't know.
The army is not under pirate law. It's not the way that works.
I run this thing like Conan the Barbarian.
You don't keep what you kill. That's not the army.
Yeah, what we're in right now isn't the army.
All right, so as you all are walking along still, and you were able to bolt past that gang, you start going along and you see that pickup truck that you saw before, like the records strewn across the street, all that busted vinyl, and it's like a burnt up truck, like pushed off to the side of the road. And there's still a couple bodies that are in it as you walk by. Roll me a recon roll.
I will roll it.
Well, it's whoever has the highest, so yeah.
That's technically... That's you, Brian.
All right, here we go. One success.
Okay. And you see it from a ways away, so... Do you want to try to go around it, or what do you want to do? Do you want to just walk right past it?
I mean, this is the same disaster we walked by before, right?
Yeah, I mean, but before you were kind of like a little ways away from it when you're going through before. Like this time it's on the same side of the road you're on. Like it was like a two-lane, like split highway type road. You know what I mean? Like main road with a big divider down the middle. Like it was on the left-hand side. You were on the right-hand side. Now you're on the right-hand side on the same side it is. Heading south. The southbound lane.
Oh, okay. Yeah, no, we'll stick to the course. There's no reason to go around it.
Okay. As you get closer, you start to you can smell it. Like, you can smell the smell like charred flesh, and it kind of reminds you of the fire and the artillery and the woolly peat and the church and the people on the crosses. And you got one success?
Yes.
Roll me a coolness under fire roll. Both of you.
Ooh. No successes and a complete utter failure.
I am sitting at two successes and a two.
All right. So as you're walking up, so you got no successes, Kyle?
I got a one and a two. I got a one and a two.
The one's irrelevant because it's not a pushable roll anyway. You take a point of stress, LT, from the side of this.
Oh, gosh. I'm never going to get used to that. Charred people. That's just wrong.
Emmett, you see one of the hands sticking out of the passenger side.
Of his best friend's ride.
Yeah. Trying to holler at me. You see a scrub.
Hey. Ain't no fucking scrub.
No, so you see this hand sticking out the window on the passenger side. It's a left hand, and it's just kind of like draped over it from the one body. And you realize that it's missing a ring, the ring finger on that hand. And am I right about that? Wasn't that right, Jeremy?
No, that's right. Yeah.
And something about this body kind of looks familiar as you're getting closer. And you start kind of thinking about it in like the truck, like even in its blasted state, you're like, wait a minute, was that Jablonski's truck? And you kind of start, as you get closer and walking by it, you recognize that it's Stanislav and Harrison in the truck.
Let's get away from this then.
But you got three successes on that?
Two.
You're good then. I was going to give you another one because you knew who they were.
Emmett will kind of tighten up a little bit as they pass. And with LT here kind of making a scene, he'll kind of take his elbow and kind of nudge him along, like, come on, you're making a scene.
I'm going.
All right, just pull yourself together.
Tell me you're used to that? Oh, that's disgusting.
Act like you ain't seen a dead body before. Come on. And,
dead body's one thing, but whoo, crispy critters.
Show some respect, and he'll just kind of, like, nudge him along. Come on!
Okay, gosh. Psycho.
But, Emmett will try his best not to show that he knows. But he feels a piece of Keanu slip away, because he was hoping he would run into them and have some idea where to go next. It feels like all of his leads are running dry.
So we cut away from there, and we see, I'm going to surprise you with something, Kyle. This is going to be role play, hand grenade, hot potato.
Excellent.
We see Lieutenant Bruce. This is back in the past, right? We see him like with his platoon, and we can see his platoon in the background, and his commanding officer is there, and he's like, all right, hey, so Bruce, I know this seems like a bullshit mission, but look, it's coming down from on high. You know what I mean? What we need you to do is see that dude over there in the civvies and the fucking flak jacket.
I see him.
Yeah. Well, they need you and your guys to escort him up the ways a little bit. Right. And he pulls out a map and he starts like showing you where he's like, here, you got to take him to here. right? At this, and he gives you like latitude, longitude, blah, blah, blah. He's like, but that's what we need you guys to do, is escort that fucking spook over there. Right?
Gotcha. Why me? I mean, there's got to be people more qualified than me to this, or is this...
Look, Bruce, okay, here's the thing. Yes, you're not as experienced as some others, but your fucking sergeants, they know their shit, all right? Okay. Just listen to them. They'll show you what you got to do, all right? Like, I mean, don't let them know that that's what you're doing. You know what I mean? But, like, you know, listen to them, all right? Like, don't... they know, they've done this kind of shit before, right? All right? Like, this is simply an escort mission. All you got to do is just get them there. That's it.
Get them to point A, point B, don't fuck it up. Gotcha.
Point A to point B. It's, yeah, I mean, we're looking at about 40, 50 clicks, so it's going to be a bit before you get back. But, and you got to be quiet. Try not to be seen by people. I mean, don't make a whole to-do about it, but, you know.
You know, that's not my strength, but I'm, you know. All right.
Yeah, just avoid populated areas as much as you can. Okay. All right?
Yeah.
Like I said, listen to your sergeants. They'll help out. All right?
Okay. I'll make it happen. I mean, what choice do I have?
And then all you got to do, drop him off, come back. That's it.
Come back. Okay.
If we're not here, that means we've already moved on to the next point. Okay. So then just radio back, you know, the call sign. So,
yep.
All right. We see, he kind of like waves over and, the guy starts to come over, and as he's walking up, there's this hint of like, we might've seen this guy before, right? Like, we don't know exactly where, but his face looks fucking familiar. Right. And as he gets closer, he's like, all right, so Lieutenant Bruce, this is Ben, or that's what he goes by, I guess. Didn't really give me a last name. It's kind of like Cher, I guess. But this is who you're going to be escorting. And the guy reaches out. He's like, nice to meet you, Lieutenant. So I guess it's your platoon that's taking me out.
Yeah, we're going to get you there. It's going to be a long haul, but... just trust us. We're going to avoid any hostility, and we're going to get you where you need to. So just don't worry about it. We got everything here. So we got you taken care of.
All right. Good. Good. I assume you know what you're doing then.
Oh. yeah. You got it. Yes, sure do. Yep.
All right. And then guys start walking back to the rest of your platoon. And right then is when we realize that this is also known as Agent Noah. This is Ben, the guy that had the eviscerated bowels after the POWs got bombed by the A-10. And we cut back to the building with Valentine and Murph. Tell me what that looks like.
Valentine's on the binoculars now.
You can rest for a while, Murph. And it is my turn to watch.
I don't mind giving you a second pair of eyes. I'm used to this type of extended observation, I guess you would call it.
That's fine, but you still need to sleep, so don't be stupid. Take your rest.
Appreciate it. Murph goes and sits with his back against the wall and kind of puts his chin on his chest and... Doesn't go to sleep right away. He's more just listening, thinking. Especially what Valentine said about how he wants to take this guy down. Because in his head he's going, this is not what I signed up for. I'm thinking I'm just taking this dude out. This is a lot more drawn out than it needs to be. Before he goes to sleep, Valentine, are you sure this is how you want this to go down? Taking him out from a distance without any of all this bullshit you want to do would be the easier, safer, prudent way to go about it.
I want to look that man in the eye when his life leaves him. I will not kill him from a distance. We are doing surveillance, and we will kill his runners, we will kill his suppliers. But Jelko, I will gut him like a fish and stare into his eyes so he knows it is me.
I mean, let's just do a snatch and grab. You can torture him, you can do whatever the fuck you want to him.
The problem is, inherently, the bunker. And when he travels, is with an entourage. So, that is the reason for the surveillance. If we weaken him, we have more chance for him to come out. Or make himself vulnerable to where we can't snatch him. But right now, he has too many. His numbers are too many.
That's fine. But your elaborate plan here has a lot of moving parts and a lot of ways it can get fucked up and go south. This could be a very straightforward op if you weren't so focused on more than just revenge. You made it personal and you want to embarrass him.
I did not make it personal. Jelko made it personal. He took everything. And I'm going to take it all back. In blood.
So as you guys were talking, you see a group of five. They're still in uniforms and everything. They're carrying weapons. But what you specifically notice, Murph and Valentine, is that three of them are U.S. soldiers, and two of them are Soviet soldiers. And they're just walking together and, like, talking and, like, headed towards the bunker with their weapons over their shoulder. But they don't seem to have noticed you. But they, like, kind of walked by. Like, they weren't, like, coming in from the other direction. They were coming from the same direction you guys are towards the bunker. And, like, you actually hear them talking back and forth in English. And they're just kind of bullshitting about, you know, random stuff. Nothing in particular. But, they kind of walk by below your where you're at, and you see them headed towards the bunker.
Valentine's not really surprised at the intermingling between the different forces. He's been in Krakow long enough to know those traditional lines have kind of dissolved in some places.
Mm-hmm.
So he's not really surprised at it, that that certain Americans and Russians are getting along as friends.
Murph still makes a comment like, that's not something I would have expected to see not too long ago. I guess neither are you and I.
They are no different than us. People with the same motives and the same goals join together.
Common goals, I get it. Again, my thought process as an operator is you have all these moving parts and variables. This could be FUBAR very easily.
That doesn't change the fact that you owe me.
Yeah, I signed up to kill this guy, not go through this elaborate scheme, but whatever.
You did not ask for the plan in advance.
Whatever. It's fine. What else do I got to do? If I get to kill a few more people, practice my skill set, let's call it. Fine.
See, like I said, lion.
So what you do actually hear them talking about as they're walking by is you hear one of them, it's actually the one of the Russians talking to them. He's like,
no, seriously, this man has a live tiger in there. Live tiger. You have to see it. It's amazing. It's like a white version of Tony the Tiger, right? Like, it's amazing. It's amazing. So you have to see.
And we cut back over to Emmett and the LT. Roll me a recon roll. The highest.
Highest recon, so C and a D. No successes.
Okay.
Attacked by wild dogs.
Hold on. All right. And you guys make your way back to Valentine's hideout. By the time you get there, they're still not there. Like, it's empty. Nobody's in there. Kyle, do me a favor and roll me a d6.
5.
Okay. Jeremy, do me a favor, roll me a d6.
Okay. 4.
Okay. And one more thing I'm going to need, and it'll be Kyle rolling this one, because I like it when dice decide shit. Kyle, roll me a d8. Roll me 2d8s. And it's a pushable roll.
5 and a 1.
I'm going to tell you this. If you push the roll, I'm not going to make you take a point of stress or hit points for it.
Okay.
But it's a pushable roll.
I'm pushing it then. A 3.
You can only re-roll one of them. That's the thing. Because if you push, yeah, the right. One doesn't get re-rolled.
Yeah. Okay. 0 successes.
All right. That's what I need to know. All right. So, yeah. So you get back to the Valentine's hideout. And appears empty. What's your all's plan?
It appears empty. Come on, dude.
You don't notice anybody following you.
So I get mad. I throw, because I had the my lever action with me, and I kind of toss it on the bed. Well, I'm down a pistol from the trip. And then, of course, I had left the shotgun behind, so I pick it up and check it out and set it back at the foot of at the top of the bed and set the lever action at the top of the bed, too, and kind of just lay down, relax a little bit. So kind of just angry from that.
Emmett?
Emmett would kind of give the place a once over, see if there was any signs that anybody had come back. Kind of give a look around to see if, you know, Murph or Valentine had met back like they said there was going to.
Based on your recon roll, you don't know. It doesn't appear one way or the other. You're not sure.
All right. Well, then he would. Looks like we're going to stay put here for a minute. We'll wait and see if they're going to come back around. I'm not sure exactly what they were doing.
Yeah, we'll see what the next step in our indentured servitude is.
And this is a new day from the last time you guys all ate, too, and you just got your food, too. So you guys are going to eat, drink water, shit like that?
Yeah, we're going to eat, drink, and be merry.
Okay.
And we bought cooked food. We don't need to prepare it.
Right. Yeah, it was domesticated. It was cooked by that. Not domesticated food. It was domestic food. Wow, this show just got real dark.
Good food. Sit down, let me pet you.
So yeah, no, it was domestic rations. Yeah. And, yeah, what do you guys think the street food was you got?
Shish kebabs. So it was some weird meat we don't know on a skewer with some sort of obscure tzatziki sauce. And we're just hoping it's not bad.
Yeah. And like some sauerkraut or something like that.
Yeah, some cabbage.
Why didn't you say it was pierogies?
Real talk, I think the last 3 times I've found food has been potatoes, so I avoided potatoes.
All right. So yeah, meat on a stick is what you're saying. Mystery meat on a stick.
It's a good deal because it was rat.
It's probably rat.
It's still a protein.
Yeah, it is. It is a protein. Yeah. All right. So, we cut away from there. We go back over to Valentine and Murph, and we kind of fast forward through that, and we can see like the sun setting on the west, on the other side of the castle from where y'all are. You can see the sun kind of setting over that direction. Not straight, because that's kind of more like a northwest, but like over the river, you can see it setting. and stars start to come out, and we can see them sitting there as like the lights changing across their face, and you can see people coming and going, and you can hear the music get louder at night, and most of it seems to be patrons coming in and out. You don't really see any vehicles showing up. You don't see anything that looks like people dropping stuff off, basically. You do see like a shift change. So like they split, and like the guys that had been patrolling outside go inside, and then a couple other guys come outside, and a couple other guys go up to the roof, and they kind of swap out who's doing what. But through the course of this, you know, doesn't seem like anyone has noticed you, but you don't see any like vehicles showing up. Seems like most of what you're getting is pedestrians walking here.
Okay, so it's mostly patrons at this point. There's no deliveries.
Yeah.
Or anything at this point. Okay, it could just be not a delivery day.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, that and they sent the one truck away.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever that was.
What other info do you have on this guy? Does he leave this place very often, or is he pretty much always here? And what the fuck is the deal with the tiger?
Why not? If I had tiger, I would travel with tiger, wouldn't you?
I wouldn't have a tiger.
They're great.
But he stays mostly in the bunker. Sometimes he will have meetings elsewhere. But that's why we are here, to learn habits and possibly any information we can gather.
Look, man, it's not like this guy's a stranger to you. You should know already. Apparently there's something personal with you guys. Obviously. So I would think you'd have... It's not like we're scouting somebody that you've never seen before.
I've seen him before, but if you want to catch a beast, you must learn its patterns. And when it moves into a new place, it changes its patterns. And if you scare it or you spook it, it will change. And I want to know what those patterns are, those changes. Because then, when we see the change, we can see how he thinks and what he knows. What do they do when they're scared? What do they do when they're happy? These are the things we need to know.
So if I'm gonna... I mean... No, I guess I agreed to this. I didn't know it was this elaborate scheme, but... What exactly did he do to you? Why this hatred and need for exaggerated revenge?
Exaggerated? You see this building out here? This bunker? You see everything out here. The people coming, the music, all of the money that is being made there. That was mine. He took it from me. He took this whole section of the city from me. The suppliers, the customers, he took everything. There were many of us. They didn't make it. But Valentin, is lion. I was chased off by younger lion, but I will return. And I will take my territory back from him.
We cut back over to Emmett and Lieutenant Bruce. And it's been a while. It's starting to get dark out. You guys have eaten. What are you guys doing? Evening shift.
So how long do we wait for them before we just assume they're dead?
I don't know. I try not to assume anybody's dead, but seems like assumptions don't get you much anywhere.
I mean, they were just doing general recon today, I thought.
I'm not 100% sure what they were doing. It's kind of a little preoccupied with our young lady that we escorted.
Yeah, I kind of miss her already. Much of a pain in the butt was it was to babysit the whole time.
Yeah, it was nice. She was quiet.
Yeah. And kind of, you know, a little bit of almost normalcy taking care of somebody. Crazy.
Yeah. I mean, if you want, you could, you go ahead and try and get some rest. I'll keep an eye out for them and whoever else may come around.
Oh, well, I ain't gonna argue with that.
All right, so you're gonna sleep for the evening shift, and Emmett, you're keeping watch. Emmett, roll me a recon roll. Add a negative two.
Add a negative two?
Yeah, because it's nighttime. Heading into dark.
DNC becomes just straight D then.
It's not pushable. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, whatever. Oh, that's a three.
Okay. All right. You don't seem to notice anything suspicious. I mean, you see people like walk by. You'll see people go down the road. You can hear people talking. Can't quite make out what they're saying. Sometimes it's in English. Sometimes it's in Polish. Sometimes it's in French. Even you hear somebody walk by and kind of remind you of Gordon. And image of Gordon pops in your head, and then you remember Harrison and Stanisław. And tell me what this looks like.
Emma's trying to let him get some rest, and you know, at this point, he's starting to worry a little bit about Murph because he hasn't come back yet, knowing that Murph's already having his own issues that he's not there to. That Emmett's not personally there to deal with now at this point. And then hearing the people walking by speaking French, it's almost like his nostrils become overwhelmed with the smell of burning as the stench of the woolly peat coming through the house just almost overwhelms his senses, and the smell as they walk past the truck earlier today. And in that moment, he locks eyes with Gordon, just with his 1,000-yard stare, sitting there as Emmett ran out of the house, directly by him.
And we can see the flames around Gordon just. Can you guys both do me a favor and roll a stamina roll at a plus two?
One success.
Two successes.
Okay. Everything seems fine. And we cut back over to Murph and Valentine. The night's still going on. Like I said, you can see the stars, just like a couple of the stars, more stars than you would normally be able to see in a modern city, because not everywhere's lit. And as you look across the nighttime cityscape, you can see pockets where there's like, that looks like there might be some electricity there. That looks like there's some electricity there. You can see like lamplight. Maybe you can see like people with bonfires, you know, in like barrels and shit like that. Like there's little speckles of light, and it's almost like the sky and the ground have a very similar kind of starry pattern to them. And you can see the stars reflecting off of the Vistula behind the bunker to the west of it. And for a minute there, it's hard to tell up from down as those things kind of blend together. Way off in the distance, you just kind of see like flash, flash, like off on the horizon. You hear a little while after each flash, you just hear a poof. Kyle, roll me a d6 for weather. We haven't rolled for the evening yet.
A one.
Okay. And you can kind of see on those flashes, you can see like these clouds starting to roll in, like those flashes are reflecting off of these darker clouds as they start to roll in the nighttime. Thank God for that roll. That's awesome.
Yeah,
that's
a great scene. I was thinking the same thing.
It's one of my favorite ones ever. And yeah, there's your scene. What do you want to do?
What's that all about?
It's the same shit.
So, I have a question for you. Maybe you can shed some light on this. I think I know the answer, but...
You sure have a lot of questions.
Yeah, I do. I want to know who I'm working with. Unrelated. On our travels here, we stopped at a village. These assholes who said they were doctors came to said village checking to see if anybody was infected. That evening, the whole village got shelled and burned to the ground. Is there really an outbreak going through, or are they just eliminating people? What's the intel on that?
You've heard rumors of this too, Jeremy.
From what I hear, there is a plague. And the WHO is going through and exterminating the plague. They think that killing the people infected will stop it, because they have no other means, is what I hear. So, you kill the people carrying the virus does not spread. Makes perfect sense to me.
In theory.
That is why I would not take your farmer friend. I will not touch him, go near him. I will not bring him inside. It is too much risk.
I get that.
Why you did not kill him outside, I do not know.
He helped patch me up.
Hmm.
Remember? Owing people?
Ah, a debt. I do understand debt.
Even among people like us, there is a code.
That's why it is best not to owe people. Be like the lion, I say. Yeah?
Understood.
So we cut back out to the refugee camp. We see Jablonski in Lieutenant Bruce's hut. What's he doing?
He found a small book in Polish that is... just a weird short story about a family that's trying to make its way out of Poland. So he's just kind of kicking back and he's reading, resting. He still doesn't feel great, although he feels like he's out of the woods. He still doesn't feel too good. And he's, you know, every now and again, you'll see him kind of set the book to the side and think, I've got to find a way to get food and water. Figure out the next steps. But I think he decided he was going to wait here for them to get back or anything for at least a little while, but he needs a plan to sustain himself as well.
Outside, you start hearing, like, as the day had gone on and into the evening, you hear people cough as they're walking by. You can hear more people coughing. And you can just, there's this smell to the area that's just seems a little bit off, and you hear people cough, and you can hear the people like moaning in the background, like painful groans, right? And you hear people talking. Sometimes it's in English, sometimes it's in Polish, but what they sound like they're talking about is people getting sick. And it sounds like there's a decent chunk of people in this refugee camp that are starting to show symptoms. And from what you hear, it's sounding a lot like what you just had.
So that would immediately perk my ears up because, you know, of what I went through, I am definitely on the opinion that it could easily happen again, and this scares the living crap out of me. So...
And you can kind of hear like yelling from the checkpoint too. You can hear like the soldiers again, like yelling at people. It's like, stay back, stay back. Back up, back up. And in Polish too, they're like, no one's in, no one's allowed in. Stay back.
So I'd make my way up towards the guards, up towards the checkpoint. Excuse me, sir.
What? Hold on. So as you come out of the hut and you can see it, it's like there's a group of people and it's like crowded. Like it's yet again people trying to like work their way in. It doesn't seem like it is elevated to another riot at this point, but the gate, based upon your general assessment of the number of people that were there previously, it looks like it's like tripled.
Ooh.
The number of people at this checkpoint now. Like they're like, no one is coming in, no one comes out. You need to all back up. Please. No one comes in.
Yeah, and I'm towards the back of that grouping, so there's no way I'm making it towards anybody there.
I mean, you could try to, but I'm just letting you know that's what it looks like. And actually, you weren't there for the first assessment, but yeah. It looks like a lot of people.
Yeah.
Let's put it that way. It's like 40 to 50, you know, people like guarding this entrance at this point. In the distance, you can see vehicles and some lights off to your east and west, like along where that wall was kind of built up. And you can see lights out there. And if you look out, it kind of looks like engineers, maybe, that are out there reinforcing the ways in around the checkpoints.
The encampment.
Yeah. It definitely seems like they're kind of like walling off. Not so much walling off the encampment as much as they're like making more minefields around the encampment to kind of like deter anyone from going around.
So is there, what I noticed, like there's a way to kind of get back to the road that leads towards the farm?
Out?
Yeah.
You don't see much action that direction from the camps. I mean, other than the rest of the camp, but it doesn't seem like it's as much that way.
I put the book in my back pocket. I take my club kind of over my shoulder and I'm going to try to walk, you know, a hex away because I can feel another burning coming on and just kind of something, you know, I have no fever. I have no anything. So I know I can probably pass for being well, but this sounds like a situation I don't want to be part of. What I'm looking for is I'm looking to kind of get, you know, a mile away and find an abandoned house kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we siege Blonsky walking off into the night, and behind him we can see the lights of the refugee camp. We can see those same lights of Krakow, those little mix of it. We can see the clouds starting to roll in, and to the west we see those flashes of light off in the distance and the poof, occasional thumping sound. Poof. Right there.
Yeah, those storm clouds were so fucking prophetic.
Yeah.
I dig it. I really dig the timing. Yeah. I love the dice.
I know. It was perfect. I was like, oh, thank God he rolled a one there.
I love the dice.
I know.
Yeah, every time I look back on what we've done and how far we've come so far, I'm always like, I can't believe how the dice have played this out.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Right?